racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Last week, we said the PGA Tour season had come to an end. Well, it kind of came to an end. This week, we really mean it. Hi, and welcome to the Grow Room Podcast and Golf Show, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. I'm Bob Bupker, and I'm here, as always, with Jay Randolph Jr., and he's better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. So, Jay, I've been waiting a long time. What did you think about the President's Cup?
Well, Bob, it was a clinic that the U.S. team, ran, if you will, in an exhibition on Sunday. Some of the shot making, some of the momentum that just kept building for this U.S. team. I think the youth that we've talked about, and you and I mentioned it last week on the show. We almost had a sense that this could be a lopsided event. I don't think to the extent that it ended up being, but as we talked about, you could almost see maybe 1 through 5, 1 through 6. You could make a case for the international team, but as you move down towards 9, 10, 11, it seemed like the U.S. just had an advantage, but I never believed it would turn into really Sunday being just kind of an exhibition.
Yeah, well, in other words, my feelings, number one, the President's Cup competition is just an exhibition, even before it starts. And what I witnessed, along the same lines as you, Jay, better golfers on the United States side, no question about that. But they also, seemed to make a lot of critical putts, and there were a lot of lip outs on the other side, which all the match play you've played. Oh, by the way, congratulations. you have advanced to the finals of your match play situation. And I'm telling you, that vertical groove driver, I knew it was going to change your game, and it certainly has.
It's unbelievable. I had somebody yesterday come into the pro shop out at Normandy, and where are the stiff shafts? Where are the stiff shafted ones? I said, they're coming. Take it easy. People that try the vertical groove driver, it's like 90% of them want to buy it immediately. So thank you for mentioning that. I didn't play at the level that those guys did. And here's the thing, Bob. I had a discussion with a good player on Saturday out at the golf course talking about the change in the makeup of U.S. teams. So we really are seeing the changing of the guard. I thought it was interesting that Captain Stricker put captain's pick Phil Mickelson out in the first day. But we've talked about these guys waiting for players, waiting for Justin Thomas to win his major, Jordan Spieth, something that Johnny Miller would not have done for Jack Nicklaus back in the early 70s. There seems to be genuine camaraderie between these younger guys. And you've talked about the class of 2011, and you saw U.S. Open champion Brooks Koepka play great. I don't know how well it bodes for Ryder Cup play, but they look real strong. Our buddy Darren Walker, who listens to us over the pond in the UK, asked me, if the Ryder Cup was in 2 weeks, what changes would you make to the President's Cup team? And I said, not a one. They were perfect almost.
No, they really were, Jay. And I got a chuckle. One thing, got to chuckle at quite a few things, and we'll try and reflect on those as the show goes on. But the one thing that certainly was constantly bringing a smile on my face is when the competitors arrived on the first tee and took out their drivers to use them on the first tee, and since they weren't vertical groove drivers, it was a pretty good chance some of them were going to go into the water with them. And Johnny Miller constantly, time and time and time again, kept saying, I have no idea why these guys are using driver on this hole. It's really only an iron and a wedge into the par four. But yet, player after player kept using driver, putting it in the water. Some put it to the left of the water. I mean, it, at some point, it was pretty comical.
And again, when it's not a metal play situation, when it's a little looser, you know, guys are going to say, what the heck? I mean, it's the first hole. We go one down, we go one down. I mean, it's, you know, I like the President's Cup. I think because of the global growth of the game, there is a place for it. I'm not just sure exactly how.
Well, we're going to talk a lot about that later on. And to get things started in our coverage of this past President's Cup, we thought it'd be best that we heard from the losing captain, Captain Nick Price. Truly, you and I agree, one of the classiest guys ever to play the game of golf. And this is what he had to say after it was over.
You know, first of all, I just want to tell you what an absolute privilege and honor it was to lead these 12 players and the other four captains this week, and also to have been associated with them for the last year and a half. This team had more buzz going for it at the start of this week than any other team I've ever been on. They were really into it. We all were. The five captains we got together over the last 8-10 months, and we really put our heads together. We thought we had a great game plan, but unfortunately it just didn't pan out for us. These guys tried their tails off. The Americans just had so much momentum, and every time we looked like we were going to get some momentum, they would cut us short. And you know, kudos to them. We take our hats off to them. They played some phenomenal golf.
Well, alluding to the fact the United States team did play some phenomenal golf, there's no doubt about that. I'm a little curious, Jay, and want your reaction. Obviously, Nick Price, I guess, saying the right things. You know, this team had more buzz at the beginning of the week. I don't even know what that means. I mean, you have far more high-stakes match play experience than I do. What do you think it means, Jay?
Well, I think, like you said, Bob, Nick Price being the consummate pro, trying to say everything right, that's the only guy that I feel bad for, because he did invest a lot of time and energy in this. And, you know, it was one of those things. They were up in a couple of matches early, and, you know, the U.S. turned the tide. You know, you have to give the U.S. so much credit. I don't want to detract too much from the talent and the players on the international team. You know, I'm sure, you know, going into Thursday, as they were sitting at the opening ceremonies, yeah, Nick Price felt good about his team. But as we talked about, the depth of the team does not stack up to the depth of the U.S. So it's always going to be a tough battle. And again, the only guy I feel any feelings for, that I feel bad for, is Nick Price, because he's such a good guy.
Well, speaking of good guys, Adam Scott certainly is in that category. He had some interesting things to say.
I think we had the team chemistry, but, you know, they have the advantage of playing a team event every year, and I think playing as a team is more often is beneficial when it comes to this event. That's the hardest task for us. New guys in and out every 2 years with less and less experience in this kind of format is hard. You know, we struggled in the team aspect of the matches this week, but we also played maybe the most on-form United States team that I can remember, even with their six rookies. But those six rookies played so amazing to make this US team this year. So the team chemistry is not a question. This team, like Nick said, had the best chemistry of any team I've been on at the start of the week. I think we were more invested in this. That was a point from Korea that was made by Nick and getting everyone more invested in this. But I think we learned a lot going up against one of the best teams that's been put forward. And I think we have to do even more before we play again in 2 years and not leave it a year before our minds tick over to the President's Cup.
Well, Adam Scott excited about the fact that they're going to return in 2 years to Royal Melbourne. I was there in 1998 when the international side won. So they're going to go back to a place where they got their only victory, hoping to duplicate that. And I kind of get the impression, Jay, that Ernie Els is going to be the man at the helm. All indications are that he's going to be the captain, and he had some interesting things to say.
As I said, there's a couple of things we have to sit down and talk to the tour about. You know, format is one, and then definitely to get our hands on our business personally, to make our own decisions. I think that's definitely a point that we can discuss. You know, I think it's gotten to a stage now where, you know, we have to do whatever we can to try and benefit our team. You know, whether that it's in logistics, scheduling, golf course setup, etc., etc. I think we have to be more in control, especially when we have a home course advantage, and definitely selection process. Maybe we should have our own selection process instead of us getting dictated by the tour that, you know, this is the process you have to follow. You know, there's 10 guys and then two picks. Maybe we should have our own format of picking six guys and six guys qualify, or eight guys. You know, change. We need to sit down and talk about it. And, you know, after this event, if I'm captain, I will definitely speak to previous captains about that, you know, and see where we go. You know, I think that's a valid point.
You know, for our listeners, Jay, let me just explain a little bit about what Ernie was referring to. When you take the Ryder Cup, and the Ryder Cup is played, for argument's sake, the next time it's played, it's going to be in France, in the shadow of the Eiffel Tower. But it'll be the European PGA Tour will be responsible for setting up the golf course, deciding how high the rough is, how long they want to play it. All those decisions will be made by the European PGA Tour, not, you know, the American PGA Tour. The American PGA of America set up the golf course at Hazeltine. So they alternate. As far as the President's Cup goes, it's always set up by the PGA Tour, no matter if it's played on home soil or away. So that's one thing that Ernie Els is going to be lobbying for. And I think the other thing makes a lot of sense. Six players make it on points, and then let them pick six players. I think it'll be a stronger team by doing it that way. You agree?
Well, what I love hearing is Ernie looking at these changes already and putting them out there. And you make an excellent point, Bob, on the PGA Tour being in control of the setup. I think Ernie will politic to have more say in the golf course setup, more say maybe in the format. And I think you're dead on that. It is a different animal as it relates to the Ryder Cup, and you almost feel like, because the European Tour or the European PGA sets it up, when they're in over the pond, there is a little bit of an advantage, and I think that's what it should be. So I'll be very curious to see, as we move forward in the next couple of weeks and months, if there are some announcements to the changes, to some changes, because it sounds like Ernie really wants them to happen to try and, in a sense, maybe level the playing field a little bit more. And I don't know that he'll get six captain's picks, but it wouldn't surprise me if it went to an 8-4 situation.
No, I think you're right on the money there, Jay Bird. How about Phil Mickelson, though? 23 team appearances. Looked really good out there, except when they dressed him up as a millennial on Sunday with those slacks and the combination of shirt and whatnot. Seeing Phil dressed in that attire was a little strange, but he did come right off of Fifth Avenue, so maybe that was the reason. And this is what he had to say about the young players.
It's just exciting to see these great young players bring the best out in each other and play our best golf in these events. It's exciting. I've believed and known how good these players are. I've seen it, how talented these guys are, and for them to bring out the best in each other and is just impressive. It's you don't get a performance like we had this week without that little something extra, that little special something, and these guys brought it out in each other. It's fun to be a part of.
Yeah, Phil certainly had a great time. Somebody else that really seemed to enjoy himself, and by the way, Jay, I did get an opportunity to talk to Tiger for a few minutes. I passed along that doing the show with you and that you wanted to say hello, and that brought a big smile to his face. And then we wanted to find out from Tiger Woods his thoughts on this U.S. team.
I think this is one of the best putting teams I've ever seen. I know that they're young, they're talented, hit the ball a long way, but in the end, look at how many more putts we made. Probably from 15 to 18. It was pretty impressive to watch.
Well, good putting always wins in golf. I've always had a chuckle, Jay, when listening to Ryder Cup captains mainly, you know, they'd come in, the losing captain would come in and say, you know, we really played great, but the other team made more putts than we did. You know, I mean, that's like a baseball game. You know, we really played great, but the other team scored more runs. I mean, I never quite understand that logic. Anyway, the crowd was really appreciative of Mr. Woods, and this is what he had to say about that.
It was awfully nice because, you know, I felt like I put a little bit of time into preparing for this cup and getting to know all the guys. And to come back out here on a golf course again certainly was a little bit different. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, I really did. And the fans to come out there and support, you know, both teams. But for me personally, it was really neat to have the fans show that type of appreciation.
And that's good to hear because, you know, we still don't know what the future holds, Bob, as it relates to Tiger playing. But what impact he can have on our game moving forward is really big for the industry. And it's nice to hear that he appreciated it and enjoyed it. We still don't know what's going to happen in terms of playing or he's hitting 60-yard shots. I think we're all just kind of a little bit beyond that because now we've done it three or four or five times. But I did like hearing him say he liked being out there and getting the response from those fans.
We're going to want to hear what Stricker had to say about getting the trophy from President Trump. But I want a one-word answer out of you, real quick, knee-jerk reaction. Tiger Woods at his best versus the players right now at their best, the top players, Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, and Justin Thomas, I said him, Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. Those three guys at their best right now, Tiger Woods at his best, who's better?
Tiger all day long.
Wow. Never thought I'd hear you say that. All right, let's find out what Stricker had to say about getting the trophy from President Trump.
I thought it was a great thrill. I thought it was a lot of us have met and either played with the president or live. I know some of these guys live down in the same area that he comes down and plays with. I thought it was a great opportunity for us to be with him. And this tournament is about respecting the office, respecting the President of the United States, and whether your views may be one way versus another, that wasn't what it was about out there on the green. It was about us getting together as a team, playing for one another, playing for the USA, and it was a great thrill for all of us to get the trophy handed to us from him.
Very politically correct answer there from Steve Stricker. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Talk Sport 2, TuneIn, Audioboom, iTunes, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
All right, so let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at how the 2017 PGA Tours will kick off the new season.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, Jay Randolph Jr., along with the voice of golf, Bob Bubka. And Bob, you know, the golf season never stops.
Well, it never does, and we're going to talk a lot about that. But I just want to remind the listeners that The Grill Room is brought to you by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. So just what is a vertical groove driver? Well, as the name suggests, the grooves on the club face, they go vertical, up and down, not horizontal or sideways, as is tradition. USGA-approved club face simply does two things. Lets you hit the ball straighter, because the vertical grooves keep the ball from going as far sideways as might otherwise happen. And if the ball isn't going sideways, well, then it's going to be going straighter and longer. Just try it out for yourself. Just go to vertgolf.com to place your custom-made order today. It will improve your golf game. By the way, we just got word that vertical groove drivers are now going to be available in South Korea and South Africa, truly becoming a global brand. Well, as you alluded to, Jay, not a lot of rest for the weary. But first off, why don't we take a look at what transpired at the Web.com finals, and we'll be able to share with our listeners some of the names, a lot of them familiar, that are going to be back on the PGA Tour this new season.
Well, 25 cards were earned through the Web.com Tour Finals, and Peter Uihlein, the stud from Oklahoma State, who's played internationally, played all over the world. Of course, his dad, Wally, that Titleist, he had a victory, and he won. Jonathan Bird, longtime PGA Tour player, he got a win at the final event, and he moved into the second position. Some other notables: Arnold's grandson, Sam Saunders, who shot 59 last week. He finished sixth, and Jonathan Randolph, strong player, no relation, out of the University of Mississippi. He finished eighth, and he moves on.
Yeah, and, you know, you go a little further down the list, the name that really jumps up at me is Alex Checker. He just seems to checking along. If I had to hazard a guess, first time I remember him on the PGA Tour seems like 20 years ago, and yet he still has enough talent to get the job done. That's great. Yep. And certainly a lot of excitement for Sam Saunders, as you alluded to, the grandson of Arnold Palmer. Hard to imagine that it's been over a year now since Arnie passed away. We'd dearly love to see Sam Saunders get a victory on the PGA Tour. He seems to have the talent, seems to be willing to work as hard as it takes. He's got a lot of his grandfather in him. And it hasn't been easy, Jay. You know this. You know, when you always introduced as Sam Saunders, the grandson of Arnold Palmer, it just puts more pressure on you.
No, and he's handled it brilliantly, and he has continued to progress, maybe one of those late bloomers a little bit. You know, he's gotten a lot of seasoning, and I think it's going to be fascinating to see how he does upcoming very shortly, because I almost said next year. We'll talk about that in a moment, but congratulations to those 25 guys who got that final opportunity to find their way onto the PGA Tour.
Yeah, congrats, and we wish them a big Grill Room salute. We hope to feature some of those players on upcoming Grill Room shows. It's not easy to get out onto the PGA Tour, and once you do, you're under a lot of pressure to make sure you perform well enough to stay there. When I look at the talent of this new crop, Jay, I see a lot of outstanding players. And you mentioned it at the top, Peter Uihlein. You know, Brooks Koepka, he took the route of playing in Europe, honing his game, getting the competition under his belt, then coming back to the PGA Tour, wins the United States Open. I think Peter Uihlein has U.S. Open winner talent in analyzing his game. And I think more and more young players are starting to go the European Tour route rather than struggling here in the United States. They travel a lot. They get to see the world. They play some very competitive golf. And then after a few years of that, they find out if the game's good enough for the granddaddy of them all, the PGA Tour.
And speaking of that PGA Tour, it doesn't skip a beat. We start off the wraparound season. 2017-2018 season is underway this week at the Safeway Open, played in the beautiful Napa Valley region of California. Hard to believe, Bob, here we go again. And guess what? Our man from Vertical Groove Golf, Long John Daly, is going to be in the field. Also, Phil Mickelson playing this week. Only two guys that played in the President's Cup, Mickelson and Emiliano Grillo, will be in this field.
Yeah, plus a large number of the newly minted tour card holders coming from the Web.com Tour. Many have been on the PGA Tour before. Ken Duke, one of the more positive players out there and very popular with the fans. Rory Sabatini, Scott Piercy, Carl Peterson, Ryan Moore, many more that just have to wait in the wings until the PGA Tour playoffs were finished. Now that they can go out there and get back in, they've had basically a month off. I know they're chomping at the bit to get going in the 2017-2018 season.
Well, and Bob, here's the thing. You remember last year, the start that Justin Thomas and Hideki Matsuyama got off to. It'll be interesting to see, you know, over the next couple of weeks, if a player comes out and kind of sets the pace like both those two guys did in the first 3 months of the season, really right until the new year began. So the opportunities are there. A lot of guys take some time off. You can make a case that some of the best players won't be there. It's time for those guys to get their opportunity.
You know, Jay, one thing I've been thinking as we approach the start of the new season, something I want you to think about, something I want our Grill Room listeners to think about. I'm trying to come up with the top 10 guys most likely to win their first major in the upcoming season. And the majors this year are going to be simply outstanding. Obviously, the Masters, that never changes down at Augusta National. But then the final three, the United States Open at Shinnecock, can't be any better than that. Carnoustie for the Open Championship, and then in your backyard, Belle Reve for the PGA Championship. So I want to start working on a list of about 10 guys that we think probably good enough to maybe win their first major in the upcoming season?
Well, I'll start with three right off the bat. I think, obviously, Ricky Fowler, still looking for that first major championship. With the play that we saw from Hideki Matsuyama and where he's at in the game, and I'm still going to go with a veteran that's continuing to play well. I call him the human ATM machine, and he made a ton of putts last week at the President's Cup. That's Matt Kuchar. Can he find his way into a major? So out right off the bat, I'll put those three on the list, Fowler, Matsuyama, and Kuchar.
Well, those are three strong names to kick it off. We'll round it out in upcoming shows, but I kind of agree with you, and I kind of think maybe, it's time for Kuchar to step forward. I think Hideki certainly has one in his future, and Ricky Fowler fits the bill.
So it's been a successful season on the PGA Tour, and it looks like the talent pool is deep for the start of the 2017-2018 season. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Reuben Hannon, the Chief Operating Officer and Founding Partner of Vertical Groove Golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowler Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Once again, time on The Grill Room to talk to our good friend, Reuben Hannon. He's a founding partner and chief operating officer of Vertical Groove Golf. And we've been hearing so much about the Vertical Groove driver lately. Kenny Perry winning the Senior Open with it. And just recently, Reuben, I was excited watching John Daly on the European Tour finish in the top 10. It was just incredible using that Vertical Groove driver.
Excited to see John over in the Maiden and Denmark Open. He was really in contention until the last day. I mean, his putter kind of failed him a little bit, but I mean, he was hitting every fairway. He was in contention, the last day. We couldn't ask for anything more, but it was fun to watch.
Did you get a phone call by any chance from Mr. Daly saying, hey, can you guys build a Vertical Groove putter for me? Because you certainly have helped my driving. I need a little help on the putting green.
Well, his famous quote is he hits his Vertical Groove driver straighter than his putters. But we talk after every round. I mean, I watch John, his accuracy's gone up, his distance has gone up using the Vertical Groove driver. And, he's really starting to find himself on these tours. I mean, he's played really well.
Reuben, when we first became involved, the main attraction to me was the fact that players could hit it further. Now that it's in the hands of so many good players that I know and the likes of Kenny Perry and John Daly, almost as important, maybe even more important than hitting it far, the Vertical Groove driver improves their accuracy.
Well, we're number one in accuracy on the PGA Tour Champions now, as well as driving distance. Bob, and you know, a lot of the players are starting to pick it up. I mean, it's been proven. I mean, obviously Kenny Perry's playing it, which you noted, but there's a lot of guys that have picked it up that we have, you know, we have usually 7 to 8 in play every week on the PGA Tour champions. So it's starting to make its rounds.
Reuben Hannon, the founding partner and chief operating officer of Vertical Groove Golf, with us on the line. Earlier when we spoke, Reuben, there was some chatter about maybe taking the technology that's in the driver and going to fairway woods and maybe hybrids. Can you bring our listeners up to speed on where we're at on that?
We're excited, Bob, to launch our 3-wood and 5-wood, I would say early to mid-November of this fall. We have tested it. We tested it on the PGA Champions Tour. We've tested it with amateurs, and the feedback and performance has been as good or even better than the driver. It's awesome to watch. I mean, it's a very clean hit off the fairway. Woods are performing really well. Again, feel sound, and the things that we have in the driver are still in the fairway woods. So we're excited to bring those to the marketplace. We feel like it's a great entree into the vertical groove technology for anyone that hasn't tried the driver, and for $259.99 for the fairway woods. You know, it's a great opportunity to at least start to introduce yourself to vertical groove, and then we'll have the hybrids to follow.
And of course, somebody could expect the same results, not only increased distance, but more accuracy with the fairway woods.
100%. I mean, it's fun to watch. I mean, I have the privilege of being on the tour, you know, pretty much every week with Chris Reeves and Wes Short and Rocco and a lot of the guys, and Kenny actually hit the fairway woods just to test them for us. And the feedback was, you know, we can put these in play, you know, today. So we're tweaking a few things. We'll get USGA approval so the guys can play it on tour. And then we'll open it up for, you know, for obviously all the amateurs. I mean, this, you know, our business is not predicated on the pros. The pros are validating the technology. It's really for the amateurs that are looking to hit the ball straighter down the fairway. It doesn't matter if it's with a driver or a fairway wood or a hybrid. And that's what the vertical groove technology does, Bob.
Well, Reuben, now we're up to date with the latest news from Vertical Groove Golf. All we can say on behalf of golfers out there, hey, let's put the pedal to the metal and get that fairway wood out so that the general public can take advantage of it.
That's our goal. We're going to be there soon. We're looking forward to a good holiday. So, you know, hopefully your listeners are looking for a great Christmas or holiday gift. And, you know, nothing better than a new 3-wood or 5-wood from Vertical Groove Golf.
What about giving somebody a club that they hit straighter and further? Boy, that is a wonderful thing to have under your tree. Vertical Groove Golf, vertgolf.com. If you want more information, that's vertgolf.com. Reuben, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule and bringing us up to date on the latest developments with Vertical Groove. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you again, Bob. It's always great to be on your show.
Well, first of all, I want to personally thank Reuben, because I'm hitting more fairways, I'm hitting it further, and I just stepped to the tee, and I've got a confidence level, and you can have that confidence level too. Plus, you can customize your driver. I can't thank Reuben Hannon enough, Bob.
Yeah, and I'm a nervous wreck, because you keep playing well, you're not going to have time to do the Grill Room show anymore, and that would be a major disappointment, not only to me, but to our loyal listeners.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.